Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome back here on Circles of Change. Labor Day weekend here in the States, but we're going across North America now to a colleague, Barb Stulemer in Toronto, Canada area. Good morning, Barb. How are you today?
Oh, good morning. I'm fantastic. Thanks.
Excellent. Let me give you a brief introduction. Barb's an entrepreneur, speaker, author, community leader, television talk show host, college instructor, and a business growth mentor, all with a focus on business. Barb inspires business owners that have worked hard to start and maintain a business, but know there is something much bigger they could be doing with that business. Barb started her first run, in fact, 30 years ago, painting Christmas themes on bar windows to pay for college tuition, and she's been involved then in several multi-level marketing businesses, or particularly learning the power of surrounding yourself with amazing people to enable your success. 8 years ago, she started her first full-time business, ClearCom Information Design, to provide technical documentation for the medical device and software manufacturers, and she has clients in the U.S. and Canada. Often called the queen of process, I love that, we're going to get a crown for you, Barb helps others to say yes to the new ideas and strategies they need to grow, scale, and leverage your business. She really believes in life enjoyment and encourages her clients to create a business that'll bring significance to their life's dreams as well as their success. So maybe that's a great place to start. What do you mean by that word significance, Barb?
Well, it's interesting because this has been a conversation that's really been fairly new to me, the success and the significance. And I'm finding it really fascinating how people are recognizing. We talk a lot about success in our business and our life and whatnot, but it wasn't until I did an exercise. It was designed by Reverend Karen Russo, and it's from her book, The Money Keys. And this exercise was around money. And it was, you know, label what you think money is and what you think money isn't. And I'll give you quickly what it was that I thought money was. So money was food, house, clothes, shoes, success. I actually put success in there, vacations and cottage and bikes and, you know, the things that we can purchase. And then what I thought money wasn't was happiness, time, learning, skills, relationships, relaxation, and significance fell in that term. So when I was labeling it for myself, it was really around the things that, you know, that were not part of what we purchased for ourselves.
Right. And so what you found out, though, as you dug into it deeper, there was some flip in there, wasn't there?
Oh, yes. Well, there's the significance itself is, you know, when we're looking at the things that we purchase, they're really around our internal feelings for ourselves. So the things that we think are important to us internally, you know, are we going to get a raise? Mm-hmm. Am I as good as I think I am? So the way that we look at ourselves, and that's why we surround ourselves with things that give us importance or make us feel like we have importance. But the significance really comes with the things that people see in us and the things that we're doing for our community and outside ourselves. So significance really is more about an external purpose or how we interact with our communities in the world.
And in fact, that's why many people that lose their jobs or retire, whether that be voluntarily or involuntarily, sometimes can be slammed right into this wall of not having the identity of what they were used to having before. I mean, that first time you go out in public and someone says that you don't know, so what is it you do? And you say, you know, or where do you work? You know, there's that blank and that gas. Whereas if you understand what your role is in a significance place, you come at it from a different place.
Absolutely, and that's a really good example. When we're in a job, we feel like we have success, and we could make a lot of money and decide to retire and have a really great house and have a great life and everything. And if we don't have a purpose, we don't feel that we are significant in our lives. And that you say about losing your job. I remember moving with my husband to a new city, right. And he had a job and I didn't. And I was well educated. I'd been the head of laboratories before, and so I'd had all this experience. But when people asked me what I did, I felt minor. I felt like I wasn't worthy to actually be around them, and it was a horrific feeling to have no purpose and feeling like I wasn't giving anything back to society, I guess is the way you would word it. Yeah,
that's right. Well, your work here at being a business and a life growth mentor, and your business, of course, is blitzbusinesssuccess.com. For those of you who are streaming us right now, I'd like to bring up two screens. You can do it. It's about helping businesses go from success to significance. Now, let's be clear, though. This isn't about not doing success in a way that could net growth to your business or more profitable ways of doing things, but to take up the game in a big way, isn't it, Barb?
It is. It is. You have to be successful to be significant. But you can't be significant without first being successful.
I like that.
So I think, this is a key component of what you're doing. And lots of people are willing to be successful and not add to that extra gift of the external that you can give away. And a good example of this is to look at your life at the end of your life, or to pretend that you're passed away and what your eulogy might be. Mm. And this is an exercise that Darren Hardy puts out. So he's the publisher for Success Magazine, and he puts this out, and he suggests writing your eulogy and seeing what it is that you feel that you've actually been able to do and what you think people would say about you. And it's a good way to take a little bit of inventory of how you've been able to impact the people around you. But I like to look at it as two little stories. Let's say a gentleman passes away, and he was very rich, and he had a lot of money. And people might say, "Oh, wow, he had such a big house, and he had like a huge car collection, and mm-hmm. His family had anything they wanted, and that's kind of the way people remember him." And you would remember him as probably being very successful. But if someone said, he was always giving to the world, he was traveling, and there was foundations set up in his name, and did you know he had this incredible car collection? So, you can still be that person who's successful and has all the things, but it's very difficult to be able to give if you're not capable to give to yourself in the first place. So, that's why you need to be successful, and then you can move on to significance as well.
That's right. Barb, could you share with our listeners a couple examples, perhaps without mentioning names, of clients that you've worked with, whether it be individuals in the context of their solopreneur business or companies, where some of the methodologies you've developed over time have helped them, and what was the end result of that process?
Well, yeah, let me think. There's a few. It's interesting because we can get to a point in our business and go, "Oh, this is great. Like I can, I'm running a successful business. Things are happening, but I know I want to grow up bigger because I want to do this and this. But there's just no way to get there." So, a couple of examples of the difference in the mindset around significance and success. And I love to share this story. I've shared it many times. A gentleman I work with, his company, is sitting there and he's saying, "I want to do more, but my clients want me all the time. I don't have any extra time to do that." And I said, "Well, what are you charging your clients?" And he goes, "Well, I charge them, $1,500 a day." And I said, "Do you have someone who can do what you do?" "Oh, yeah, we've, he's already put a bunch of systems into place. He has quite a few people working for him. I have two people that can do what I do, and one person's really good. And what do you charge for them?" And he goes, $1,400. I said, "Okay, so they're paying an extra $100 a day for the CEO of the company, the person who's grown and runs the business. You don't have this kind of time now." So what he hadn't done was change the mindset around the success of his business to recognize how significant his time now was for him. So it's not just about being significant to the entire world. It's about being significant in the things that you do day to day.
And I think also the opportunity for him, who knows, maybe he charges double time what he would otherwise get. He might not get as many engagements, but since this is a time and material business, meaning more the time and the material, it frees up that space then for him to do other high-value things.
It's true. Well, what I had told him then was, you are now a $10,000 a day person. And he started laughing. He goes, you wouldn't believe it, but 3 days ago I found a check in my drawer that I'd written for myself several years ago that said $10,000 a day for 1 day's worth of work.
Yeah.
Not realizing that he'd already got to a point where he had to start raising the rates for his time, because if you're going to hire the CEO of your company, you actually have to pay more for the CEO's time, because he also has to run the CEO's, you know, roles and responsibilities of the company for the CEO. So you're taking him away from the things that he has to do in his company to work for you. You have to pay more for it. And that was kind of the switch from successful and being wanting to be hired to significant, and recognizing that your value was more, that you had to charge more, and that the people in your company can do what you do. So let them do it.
Yeah, and isn't that the point? Let them do it.
Yeah.
You've been hiring, training, and gifting it to them, but perhaps stepping in their way to do that. Well,
yes.
Well, Barb, I mentioned in the introduction, of course, that you started kind of, I think, as an entrepreneur out of necessity, so you could generate funds to pay for college. And then you got into the multi-layer marketing style of businesses. Tell us about some of your experience and thoughts, because, of course, multi-layer marketing companies have flown, crashed. You know, they're not for everybody, nor are the industry sometimes. But that whole landscape, vis-a-vis perhaps you're working now, having founded ClearCom and worked with other people with more broader Vista-type companies.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was, I had spent many years as an employee and as manager and whatnot. So I've been in the employment mindset for very many years before I got back into entrepreneurship. And I guess knowing that that's someplace that I always want to be. But like us all, something has to happen in our lives before we get pushed there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at home with a sick child, I was at home for 10 months with him. And during that time, I couldn't just be a stay-at-home mom. I found that very difficult. So I took on the multi-level marketing. I actually did Pamper Chef.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned was that I was, I could create money for myself. I learned that I did have an entrepreneurial mindset, that I wanted to create something new. And I also got incredible sales training
of course.
From them. Because, yeah, if you get the right company, they're already set up for this, right?
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Yeah.
They've got the training, they've got the programs, they've got the mentors, those that can push and guide you. You bet.
Yeah. And I guess the biggest thing to know is that if it's your company, if you're an employee for someone else's company, or if you're going to go into multi-level marketing, you really have to step it up. I mean, there's a lot of work involved. And people think because they're handing you a business and how easy it is that it's going to be easy or it's not going to take as much time. They make it sound like, you just step in and have a couple of shows and you're going to be okay. It's not like that. It's an ongoing, constant marketing and sales, and that's the same in business. So that was a key component of switching over to being able to run my own business and knowing I could do it.
Yeah, that's right. So how was it you picked up this tagline or title of Queen of Process?
Well, I guess mainly because I had spent a lot of years in medical device manufacturing.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened was at some point they realized that my writing skills, my ability to communicate what the steps were in a process were very clear. So they had like 50 some odd technical people around the world that they kept phoning in for help, and they needed a service manual written. And they said, you're really good at this. Can you write the service manual for us? So I wrote the service manual for them, and I was getting kudos from all around the world. And this is when I recognized, hey, this is something I'm really good at, because it's the way I think. I think in a process way. Yeah, so that's kind of where it came from. And now I build it into everything that I do, because I find once you have systems in place, it makes things easier to be able to grow. And it also makes you understand where you need to go and what you have to have in place if you want it to be bigger, right?
Meaning, because you've had some indicators or metrics that start pointing to where you might have vulnerable points or where you've got latitude to scale.
Right. It's also understanding what the final product's going to be, or what the final business is going to look like, so the big picture. So being able to see that big picture and know to be there, you have to have all these systems in place and go, okay, you want to stop anywhere along this line on your way up to this giant picture that you have in place. You can now, because all your systems are already in place to be able to manage that.
That's right. So the idea, again, you're shifting from a more traditional state business situation. You had a life circumstance move you into wanting to choose to get into multi-layer marketing and then flip back in. So the step up then, or broader, I'll say, to also now get involved in entrepreneurship from the standpoint of coaching others. An epiphany that came through that, or you just found the phone was ringing off the hook, or you kept bumping up into people that said, you need to help me?
Yeah, it was an epiphany. It was a funny thing. One of my coaches had said to me, what would you do that you would do all day long that you would do for free? And I thought, if I am technical writing for someone, they're paying for it.
Yep.
And I had, you know, I had other technical writers that worked for me and everything. But when I started looking at some of the things I was doing, I recognized that things I was doing free. I had a 6-month mentoring program that I was doing for free as a pay it forward to new business owners. I was already speaking at the college. I was already speaking at our government has a program called the Self-Employment Assistance Program. So I was speaking there to help new entrepreneurs. I belong to the Economic Development Office's advisory board. So I was doing everything that was business-minded, and I recognized what I loved to do was talk about business all day long, and I was really good at it, and I was already helping people, so this is where I needed to be. It was an epiphany.
Well, and it's very funny you should say that, because people often ask me, how did you get into radio? And it was a convergence of things. Number one, instead of dwelling on how do I find the best high-quality clients, it's like, no, the question should be, how do the high-quality clients find me? Secondly, it was in a conversation with a friend, he made a comment like, well, you know, I just realized one day that I could sit in Starbucks and talk to people all day long. So I needed to capture that as part of my business model, which was he then started holding business forums that would bring leaders together. And he'd count on at least one person coming up as a paying client that could defray the cost from having hired in an outside speaker. When he had said that, I jokingly said, yeah, I could talk on the phone all day long. And something went flip. And within a half an hour, my husband came into my office and said, they're advertising on the radio. Bring us your idea. We'll put you on the air. So it was, oh, my gosh, you mean I could do this? You know, and you're right. It's just the passion that you can come through for those speaking engagements that you do now, Barb, or the engagements on different boards, or you're, I'm certain, get involved in live television. It's the same idea. It's that forum that allows you to be even more of who you are, and you say, whoa, I got paid for this. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. And a little bit about what we were going to talk about, the significance and the success in this, again, is, you know, I could work at this for someone else and be very successful at it. But where I feel that my passion and my purpose comes through is the creative part of what I get to do, and the fact that I get to help more than one business owner. And that's where my significance comes in. That's where I get to be a, you know, different than the average person, I guess, is the way you look at it. I'm still the average person inside, but doing things differently than the average person would do to be able to find what it is that I want to do. And that's just, you know, that's kind of the key to getting to significance, is recognizing that you're going to have to do something that's outside of what you would normally do in a day-to-day, or, you know, stretching a little farther than you would normally stretch to get to that place.
It is, but isn't it also important that it calls for us to invest in ourselves, to step out of our comfort zone, and perhaps go to a more amenable environment that can empower us? Because many of us, you know, are stuck in our own stuff or the stuff that it's around us.
Yeah, it's so true. I have a girlfriend, and she teaches at high school level, but they're youth that are at risk. It's a more of a challenge for the teaching. And when we got in this conversation around significance and success, you know, her insight into this is very different, because we, you know, as the average person, or as a middle class person, or a lower middle class, or whatever you are, we have a lot of things that are available to us, including education and whatnot. And we interact and act differently. But when you're in a house where you're getting abused, where your parents are on pot or alcohol or whatever it is, and you don't have the same insight into how to live, then, you know, there's some people that you can easily get to it, and there's some people that have a huge amount of things to do first before they get there.
That's right.
So how do you give them the opportunity? The disenfranchised is how she would put it. How do you give them the opportunity to recognize that they can also be successful and significant in their community, or in their, you know, in the school, in their family, whatever that might be? But what a huge difference you could make if you gave people permission, or they understood they had permission to actually go this far and be that way.
That's wonderful. We're speaking with Barb Stuhlemer, by the way, and her business is called Blitz Business Success, and that is indeed the website address, blitzbusinesssuccess.com, based out of Canada, but she has clients in the U.S. and, of course, in greater Canada. Barb, turning point for you, was this a quick take a right, or was this something that evolved over time?
Oh, no, there's no real specific point, I would say. I think really it may have been as I moved from being an employee into being an entrepreneur, because I find that probably the last 10 to 11 years of my life has been significant growth in my mindset, the things I do for myself, for my family, mm-hmm. how I teach. And over that time really is the time that I've been with my children as well. So my oldest is only 15. So, you know, it got to a certain point where I recognized that I needed to learn something different to step up and be a better parent. And be a better, a leader, and be a better model. And so those kind of things, I think, were the things that kind of pushed me forward. But it's been many years in the works.
So it's this idea of the slow turn, right? It isn't necessarily, but it is nonetheless a turn. And if you think about it in the context of, maybe it's a series of small A to Bs, but when you add them all up, you have created that shift in your life or your business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm not the same person I was 10 to 12 years ago. If you met me now and you met me the same person 12 years ago, you wouldn't probably recognize me.
Yeah, that's right. So, Barb, right now, how would you say you've changed the most by helping other people change?
How I changed the most? Well, I think the biggest thing is that I've been able to come to a place where I'm really comfortable showing my emotions and showing my vulnerability in front of people. I spent a lot of years being in corporate and having to be that person who gets it right, who looks like they're capable and competent. And now I'm a lot more open. People have described me, three words that I get a lot is I embody love, complete trust, and that I stand in my power. And those are three things that I don't think they would have trusted me, because honesty has always been a core component of myself. But I think, you know, the love part probably wouldn't have come across, because I didn't feel that was not a place to be in love with people around you, right?
Or if you were, you didn't let it be known. That's right. It was kind of, there was suspicion around that. At least that was in the days of yore. I don't know that that's necessarily the case in more progressive organizations now. I think there's a whole lot bigger space, and certainly the younger generation is demanding it and creating it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fantastic to see it happening. So I teach Introduction to Entrepreneurship at the local college, and I get to, give them this choice to be this way as they move into their own businesses. But they're so accepting of it, because it's a lot more for the Y generation. It's so much more their generation than it was ours.
Mm-hmm. Some of the big challenges you've helped your clients navigate through, Barb, this isn't, as we said, about starting businesses or maintaining, but any of the times you've stood strong with a client where the waters were really rough for them, some examples you might share with us?
Well, you know, it's happened actually a few times at different clients. It tends to be around our relationships with our spouses, particularly for women in business, because as a woman in business, and things are changing, but we still seem to hold that kind of maternal point or part of our relationship in our with our marriage, right? And sometimes if you don't have someone who understands entrepreneurship as a spouse, and my spouse he works for the government of Ontario, so he's a government worker, and I've had to learn this myself, and our relationship has had to go through this, so I've been able to lead that for others, but it's so challenging. I mean, they're overwhelmed. They don't want to lose their marriage over a business, but this is what they really want to do. So that is a huge component of running your business is being able to manage your relationships and the communications that have to go along with that.
Absolutely, yeah. And in fact, I don't think that's ever put in the first steps of a business plan for helping people establish their businesses. Have you checked in with your automatic support structure? Because many places here you are going through this shift, like you talked about, and sometimes people that love us the most or around us don't necessarily want us to change. Now, they might not say that, but they don't necessarily know how to do the other mechanisms of support. So I'm sure that's one of the things you work with your business, those that you coach, is surrounding yourself with the talent, and the insights, and the, well, of course you could do that. versus others that would say, well, remember when you tried that before, you know.
Well, that's it. And then finding a way to make it comfortable for your spouse who may be, if they're an employee, then they may not be able to stretch or understand this, but you want to take them with you, because not my client, but one of my girlfriends had this go on, and she made such a huge shift and a huge change, and her spouse couldn't make that change with her, and it met the end of their relationship. And so you don't want that. You want to be able to move forward, and you want your spouse to come with you, assuming that you were in love when you started. And then there's a lot of work you have to do on that side as well.
There is, and particularly when you're looking at going beyond just success but to significance. There's nothing greater than to do it in tandem with a group of colleagues as a team, or as you said, from the personal life standpoint with your spouse, or for those of our listeners who sit on boards that are driving, an attempt, let's say a nonprofit board, is you can't singularly drive that on your own. It's got to be really in tandem with so many others.
Yeah, but that's great. True. And if your spouse is sitting there going, why are you doing all this? Are you making money doing this?
Then we hear that a lot. Well, we all, it's a natural question.
You're volunteering for something, and you should, this is part of your, how you become more significant, how you make a difference in the world. And the money will be a component of it, but you have to draw those lines for people. You have to connect the points so that they can see it, because unless there's a paycheck coming directly back, they're not going to understand that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Barb, I know you had chosen the title of Finding Significance in the Average for our segment today. I think we've covered so many different fronts, but I think what you're really challenging us all is this isn't necessarily about just finding significance through the big hat things, but the day in and day out, isn't it?
It is. It is. It truly is. And believe me, when you get to the place where you feel that the difference between a success and significance, there's a peace that comes with it, and it's a nice place to be, because there's something about being embodied in a larger thing around you, whether it's your extended family or your community or the world, because a lot of people have big goals, but to be able to make a difference for other people it pays back tremendously, a lot more than just doing something for a dollar or two. Right?
Absolutely. Well, Barb Stolimer, thank you so much for joining us. Barb's commitments to entrepreneurs. She's a speaker, author, community leader, enjoys doing television, teaching, of course, and being a business growth mentor. Her business, again, is www.blitzbusinesssuccess.com. Thanks so much, Barb, and enjoy being the queen of process.
Thanks. We'll talk soon. Take care.
You bet. Take care. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.